God is good. Can you say amen? Amen. We're excited about the men's fellowship Tuesday night. So I know we keep advertising that, but we just definitely, and if you got somebody in your life, invite them to come. And we're excited about that. All right, so let's pray. I'm going to pray for us. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to come and brag on you and share the good news of the gospel of Christ. And Lord, we just love you and want to take this time to lift up your name and praise you and honor you. And we just thank you for everything that you're going to do this morning. I ask you to help me with a message, Lord, that won't be just my words and it'll be you speaking through us and teaching us all. Holy Spirit, you're definitely welcome here, and we ask you to guide us and comfort us and encourage us. Or you said the Word of God is that builds life and it helps us and guides us and corrects us, puts us in place sometimes. And we just love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Luke, and we're going to be bouncing around a little bit. So Luke chapter 4. Verse 18 and 19. Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. All right, let's read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is Jesus talking. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Can you say amen? Thank you, Lord. I want to focus this morning on just a few words in this scripture. It's a very familiar scripture in Luke. One word is, he sent me to heal the brokenhearted. And I really believe that that's one of God's callings for my life over the years. It took me a little while to get it all into place. But God's called us all to be ministers of reconciliation, right? Each one of us, he's called us to be ministers of reconciliation. And in this case, more specifically, it says he has anointed me to heal the brokenhearted. Now, if you look up that word brokenhearted in the Greek, it means to be bruised. More specifically, it means to be bruised in the soul. And we all know from some of the teachings earlier last year that we talked about the soul being the body, right? The soul, I'm a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in this body. And the soul being the mind, will, and emotions. So there's emotion. So the brokenhearted here, what Christ is talking about, is being bruised in the soul. And a bruise is the result of some kind of trauma that's being caused by a blow. Some kind of trauma in the past that's been caused by some kind of blow, some kind of cut, or some kind of injury that you've been through. Now life can bruise people in the soul, right? Just life as you go along can bruise people in the soul. And sometimes those bruises look like sadness, depression, resentments, anger, unforgiveness, rejection, abuse, loneliness, and bitterness. I'm going to go there a little bit this morning. Is that okay? But Christ said he has anointed us to heal the brokenhearted. You see, these bruises in life can be tender. A bruise can be real tender. And it can be easily reopened and cause more pain. Okay? They can keep people chained up. They can keep people locked up in a prison. They can keep people walking on eggshells. But Christ has come to heal the brokenhearted. The good news is that God is, like the song says, in the chain-breaking business, isn't he? God can heal those wounds. He can heal that broken heart. There's people here today that young, old, but a lot of us get a broken heart down through the years. Let's look at three verses. Three verses here. Acts 12, 7 and 8. I'm just going to read it. Acts 12, 7 and 8. This is when Peter got locked up in jail, prison. You remember that one if y'all studied that? It says, "Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, 'Arise quickly.' And his chains fell off his hands. And then the angel said to him, 'Gird yourself, tie your sandals, put on your garment, and follow me.'" Okay? The angel actually struck Peter. Now, if you look up that word, that's literally what it means. It means it struck him with a part of his body. Now, this is just me. Don't take this to the bank. But I think the angel kicked him. You know, I mean, he could have, you know, lovingly reached down and tapped him on the shoulder. But I don't think so. That's just me now. But I think the angel, based on my little Greek study of this word struck, it's like a combat word, you know. It's like you strike somebody, you know. I mean, he could have poked him with a pole or a rod or something. I don't know. I just think he kicked him, you know. But what I want to draw out of this is he said, "Get up and get dressed." Everybody say that with me. Get up and get dressed. That's what he said. Now, the next verse. I'm going to tie these three verses together so you'll hang with me. Okay, 1 Kings. And 1 Kings. Jesse was talking a little bit about this in Sunday school, and I almost jumped in there and I had to hold back. But 1 Kings 19:4. This is when Elijah, you know, remember Elijah's story and had a big victory, and God threw fire down from heaven and showed out. Elijah went away from that. He went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. Now go study a broom tree if you want to study something in the Bible sometime about the broom tree. And he prayed. This is Elijah, big man of God, powerful warrior, prophet of the Lord. And Elijah prayed and got under this tree and he said that he may die. He's asking the Lord, "It is enough now, Lord, take my life. For I am no better than my father's. Then as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly," what happened? "Suddenly an angel touched him." If you look up the Hebrew in that word touch, guess what it means? It means strike. It struck him again. Okay, the angel struck him and said what? "Arise and eat." And the angel was real specific about some other things to do to get Elijah moving on down the road of what he needed to do. But the points I want to bring out this is after Elijah's great victory, he became so afraid of the queen's threat, he ran 100 miles, that's what the theologian folks say, and ended up sad, alone, and suicidal. And again, we see the scripture saying an angel appeared and struck him. And I think he kicked him. He was sitting in that old broom tree. It would look kind of like a weeping willow tree if you looked at him from today. And the tree, the roots are about that high, and there's big bushes, you know, big limbs coming out. And it actually bloomed during certain times of the year. It smelled like honey. And they used it sort of medicinal purposes and for aromatherapy, maybe they're doing it back then. You never know. But they would get under these trees, big, good shade, and the roots and everything of the tree would make good fire. You know, I don't want to get into that, but I think the angel came in there and he kicked Elijah and he said what? "Get up." He said, "Get up and eat something." So Peter, he said, "Get up and get dressed." The angel with Elijah said, "Get up and eat something." Amen. The next verse is John chapter 11, verse 38 to 44. John chapter 11, verse 38 to 44. Now, this is a story about Lazarus, and God raised Lazarus from the dead and all that, but I want to focus on these few verses right here. Verse 38 says, then Jesus, and Jesus got a little frustrated with him because they kept talking to him about Lazarus, and he was like, chill out, it's all right, he's going to be all right, you know? And it says, then Jesus again, I'm going to read in the scripture, then Jesus again, groaning in himself, came to the tomb. And it was a cave, and a stone lay against it. And I'm going to stop right there for a minute. I got to. If you look up that word groaning, this is what it means. I looked it up. It means to snort in anger. I'd never seen that before. I thought Jesus was like sad, and you know, and he was sad for his friend Lazarus, you know. But at this point, Jesus is groaning to himself. In other words, he snorts with anger. Now, don't laugh at me, but when somebody snorts in anger, what do? They go, ugh, ugh. And in the Greek, it goes on and talks about like sounds like a horse would make, you know, and I'm not going to do that, you know, but it's like, anybody ever snorted in anger? Ugh. Ugh. You know? Okay, you got the picture, right? That's what Jesus was doing. He was snoring. He was like, man, come on. And then Jesus looked at him and he says, take that stone away. I'm quoting the scripture right here, New King James Version. He said, take that stone away. And I believe based on, I've read tons of times in the last 3 or 4 days, and it's like I got this feeling that Jesus was a little agitated with him or something. He was like, take the stone away. You know, sometimes in the religious world, you know, we do the Christmas cantatas and the Easter cantatas and all these, you know, and we got this nice little Jesus up there, you know, taking the stone away. Scripturally, I think he was a little frustrated with him. He said, take that stone away. And then Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, I'm still reading the scripture, Lord, by this time, there is a stench. So there she's doubting again, isn't she? Just like questioning him, his authority again. For he has been dead 4 days. This is what Jesus said to her. He says, did I not tell you that you would believe? He said, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? He says, then the scripture 41 says, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, and guys, we'll stop right there. This is for me personally. I'm gonna start really believing this little scripture right here. And I'm gonna start praying this into my own life. And I'm gonna encourage you to try it, man. But listen to what Jesus said. He said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. How many needed assurance that God hears you when you pray? Jesus, he knew God was hearing him. I'm going to say it again. He said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of these people, as Jesus is back to, because of these people that you sent me, now, when we had said these things, he cried with a loud voice. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And in his face was wrapped with cloth. And Jesus said to them, what? He said, loose him and let him go. He said, loose him and let him go. Jesus said, come forth. And if you look at that word, come forth, and you put those two words together in the Greek, it means literally to get up and to come outside. So he was in a cave. And Jesus was literally telling him, he said, get up, arise, come forth, and come out of that cave. He said, come out of that cave. He said, get outside, get outdoors, come out of that dark place. Jesus was saying to get up and get out of that cave. Get out of that dark place and get outdoors and get around people and allow them to take those grave clothes off of you so that you can move from death to life. And folks, let's look at this point right here. Jesus says, take away the stone. I love that. He said, take away the stone. See, guys, the stone was rolled in front of the grave, that grave cave. The stone was rolled into to seal the death of the person that was inside. I have a question for you this morning. What stone has been rolled in front of your heart? Right? What stone has been rolled in front of your heart? 2 Peter 3:9 says this, the Lord is not slack concerning His purposes and promises, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us. He's patient, not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen? And that, again, that word perish means to wither, to decay, to rot, and to eventually become no more. And that can be our life, it can be our marriage, it can be our relationships, it could be our finances, right? You know, if we're not careful, those stones roll in front of our hearts, things can start perishing in our life. Things can start stinking. I ask you again, what stone has been rolled in front of your heart, causing things in our life to stink, to decay, to rot? Some folks take it so far that they become imprisoned, chained up. And learning this morning for sure that God is in the chain breaking business, isn't He? Most people that are bruised in the soul and they're suffering from these stones, they end up depressed. That's where it ends up. You know, a person goes through the bitterness, they go through the anger, the hatredness, they go through all the negative emotions in our soul, but mostly they end up depressed, entertaining ideas of, I don't need to exist anymore. My family would be better off without me. My kids would benefit from my life insurance more. God is telling us He's in the chain-breaking business. He can heal our heart. He can heal our broken heart. He can remove the stone. See, this kind of depression, guys, it drives most people into isolation. And they begin to isolate and they begin to get alone. God has given us a practical way to overcome this bruise and remove this stone from our heart. I love this practical way that He says. And this is the simple, what we've covered so far in this message. This is the simple thing. We make a simple decision in our own hearts, that we must get up. We must get up. And we must eat something and nourish our body and get dressed and get outside and get around people and allow these people to love on us and to take these grave clothes off of us and allow these folks to minister to us. And love on us. If we listen to the enemy that lies to us and tells us that nobody cares and nobody understands me, it's a lie. It's a lie of the enemy. Get up. That's a decision we have to make, isn't it? We have to make that decision to get up. Get something to eat, get dressed, get outside, and get around people. So if you're listening to this message on the internet, I encourage you. If you hadn't been to church in a long time, get up, get dressed, get you something to eat, come on to church. And let our folks love on you. Right, guys? Amen? Finish it up, and I'll close with this. As the Word of God also says in Psalms 107:19-22. The Psalm says, "Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them from their distress. He sent out His word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them sacrifice with thankfulness and offerings and tell others of His wonderful works and sing songs of joy." Matthew 11:28-30. It says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." 1 Peter 5:7. This is the last one. God said, "Cast all your care upon Him, for He cares for you." My friends, if you're struggling today, if you've been brokenhearted, there's things that happened to you in your childhood that can haunt you all the way until you're 99 years old and take it to the grave. If there's things that's been bothering you, you've been brokenhearted, you've been rejected, you've been hurt, you've been abused. If you've been brokenhearted, Jesus says, bring it to Him, for He cares for you. It can be a simple prayer at the altar here. It could be a prayer at home when you get home tonight. Jesus loves you. He does. He's in the chain-breaking business. Amen. All right.